Good morning, church. Thank you for coming back. I'll be away the end of the month on the 30th of August, and I'll be in North Thailand in Chiang Mai and ministering at Sozo Life, the ministry that we support for our missions. And I'll be spending some time, in fact, a week there. It's a belated trip, supposed to go before the pandemic, but it was delayed. And I'm going to spend that week with the leadership team and just to encourage them. Subsequently, I'll be heading down to southern Philippines, to Sarangani. And I've been doing a week of youth empowerment for the churches in the mountain area. And it's going to be a great time. Just had a Zoom meeting with some of the people involved 2 nights ago. And we are really excited what God is doing. And because I'm leaving, I'll be away for about close to 6 or 7 weeks. I will not be at a camp. And I really want to encourage everyone that are still wondering whether should you sign up for the camp or not. The word of the Lord for you is sign up. Pastor Benny is a powerful teacher. I've known him for many, many years. And the fame of the Holy Spirit encounter is so powerful. The Holy Spirit is all you got now. That's what Jesus says, it's better that I go away. How could it be better, Jesus? You're with us. No. It's better. I'm away. Only then the Holy Spirit can come. And I really want to encourage and challenge all of you. You know, if you can't and you don't like, you know, the not so good facilities, go and get an Airbnb somewhere, you know, and then go for a day camp. All right? But I'm not suggesting you to do that because you're going to spend a lot more money. Sign up for the camp. Is there any more space? Like spare toilet area that people can still camp in? We've been in that campsite for 4 times already, I think. Yeah, and powerful encounter in that place. Every time I go to that campsite, I remember of all the spiritual altars that we have built over the years. Our first camp in Click Church was in that place. So don't miss it, all right? If you don't have money to go and see Pastor Randall. He's a man of faith, okay? Praise God. He will solve your problem. God is a good God. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. We're living in changing times. Well, God's truth is unchanging in changing times. Amen? And the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of... There's no monitor, right? It's not working. For a moment when the projector was not working, I said, oh God, it's my fault again. Because as I was preparing the PowerPoint, I wrote to Grace, could you please do it in PDF and send it to everybody? Maybe I lack faith. Is it sent out already? Or after the service? Okay. Now, if I'm going too fast, don't worry, you will have the PowerPoint, all right? Because I'm trying to squeeze a long series in 2 weeks. And let's see how we go. I was told to stop at 11:15 because we need to go for lunch. Now, we covered extensively right from the beginning of time, before sin, before the law. And as I say, in every doctrine that we study, there's this called the principle of first mention. When was it first mentioned in the Bible? In what context was it mentioned? What's the reason and what's the purpose? And out of that, we can derive the origin of that topic. Now, we discover that God is the owner. I know I'm stating the obvious, but it's not so obvious today. That's why we have all this evolution, because they don't want God to be the creator. Because if God is a creator, then I'm accountable. I'm accountable. So that's why evolution is saying, no, it's not God. God is not the owner. He's not the creator. And whatever happened in the book of Genesis, like gender, today the biggest quarrel now is gender confusion. Again, attacking the fundamental truth of God made man, mankind in his image. He made them male and female in his image. Then marriage, family is the most attacked institution between a man and a woman. Again, we got to go back to Genesis. What is God's standard? We all have sinned and fallen short of the glorious standard of God. The glorious standard of God. We cannot use the standard of the world and replace it with the standard of God. We have fallen short. Let's get back to the standard of God, which is back to the beginning. What God is saying from the beginning of time. And from Genesis 1, 2, 3, we learned that God is the owner. Last week, we learned that all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. John chapter 1, straight away, give it as it is. The earth is the Lord and the fullness of it, right? To the Lord your God belongs the heavens and even the highest heaven, the earth and everything in it. Deuteronomy 10:14. It was in your last week's slides. But how about the New Testament, the New Covenant? What the New Covenant is, that don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. In other words, is you lost it and God redeemed you back. You're bought with a price. We sold ourselves to the devil. God redeemed us back. We belong to Him. As I say, you know, Psalms 50:11. I know every bird in the mountain. I know every insect in the field. They're all mine. Even the little insects are mine. It says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't ask you permission. I wouldn't have to tell you, I'm hungry. Because the earth is mine, all that is mine. When we understand the sovereignty of God's ownership, it releases us into freedom. Remember, the landlord had to settle everything, right, Joe? Landlord have to repair all your, well, a heater not working. Landlord, you know. They have to bear all this. And Abraham knew, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Job knew. He says, naked I come from my mother's womb and naked I'll return. That period of my life spent, I don't own it. And he says, the Lord give, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's easy for us to quote this verse, but when you are in His place, your children suddenly all taken away, your wealth taken away, now you're suffering boys all over you in pain, it's very hard to say, though He slay me, I'll still trust in His ownership. Now, the foundation of good stewardship is God's ownership. Stewardship is managing someone else's property. And we cannot give joyfully because fundamentally we think that what we have is ours. It's not ours. It's not ours. That's why they say, freely you receive, freely you give. Now, the call to fruitfulness is embedded in the beginning of time. Because stewardship has to do with accountability, and stewardship has to do with multiplication. We heard about the multiplication in prayer and so forth. And the second truth is so fundamental and it's so, like, you know, so obvious, is we are all stewards managing the property of another, which is God entrusted to us. So basically, to sum it up, is our life is a test and a trust. You'll be tested in your stewardship. You'll be tested in your trust. Now, the scripture tells us when God did not, there was no bushes in the field yet, in the land, no small plant of the field have yet sprung up, for the Lord has not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. So God has to create man in his own image, in his own likeness, to represent him, to manage it. And he says the mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Now, then the next verse tells us that the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril. The word breath, do a word study. Look at the Hebrew, breath. Remember Jesus breathed into the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Breathe. Incredible word to study, because the first mention of breath. And he became a living creature. And the Lord planted a garden in Eden. The Lord planted a garden. The Lord is a gardener. If you got problem with gardening, seek the Lord. Amen? He's a good gardener. And the Lord not only planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put men whom he had formed to manage, to be that steward, to steward what God. See, the garden of Eden is really a picture, if you like, of a visible manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. Because we are to have dominion to rule over the earth. A kingdom is a domain. It's a domain. And God wanted it to be extended so that the glory of the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the water covers the sea. That we will expand and multiply. And so, the Lord God formed man of the dust and put man and to work on it. It says that he put man in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Now, have you ever wondered, it's such a beautiful garden. How more beautiful can it get? It can get better. Because God made us in his image, in his likeness, that we are able even to take it further, to multiply it. And he says, you may eat of any tree in the garden, but there's this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Again, there's a picture of God showing us that you are provided everything out front. You don't have to do anything. All the fruits are there for food, the environment, the climate, that you are able to survive. Did you know you did not come to this earth with a pair of jeans? Animal came to this world with their fur. You came nothing naked. But yet God provided everything for Adam and Eve all out front. You can have everything, but this is my access denied. Don't try to hack it. Don't try to get the password for it. Access denied. This is mine. Why God has to put the tree there, knowing this is going to happen? Why don't you don't put the tree there? And we'll be happily ever after in the bigger garden of Eden throughout the whole world. Because we are made with a will to choose. There must be something to choose if we are made with a will to choose. And God says, I'm the owner. But all these are for you to steward. But this is mine. Don't take what's not yours. So when Eve and Adam partake of the fruit, being deceived by the lies of the devil, as I say, Genesis starts with a lie, Revelation 22:15 ends with the sin of lie being mentioned as the last sin in the last chapter of the Bible. Don't touch what's not yours. Don't take what's not yours. A steward only manages what is given to you. You know, your life will be a battle between truth and light. Because from day one, principle first mentioned, truth, what God says, lie, what the devil says. Father is the father of lies, devil. When he lies, he speaks his native language. There's no truth in him. He's out here to steal, to kill, and ultimately to destroy you. Those who lie belongs to the father of lies. So your battle is between truth and lie. And your battle is between God's will or your will. I want this. I'm the owner now. God don't have to tell me what to do. I'm like him. I know good and evil. I don't need God now. I am the owner now. You are not the owner. You just stole something that's not yours. That's the book of Genesis. And guess what the last book of the Old Testament talk about? Stealing. Robbing. From the first book of Genesis to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, the Lord says, but you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offering, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse that there might be food in my house. You're very quiet now. It's either you're under deep conviction or you're so mad at me. Yeah, church is always talking about money. They're always asking about money. Church is always about money, 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 money. Sadly, many men of God, for fear of what the world think, trying to be politically correct, look good, they don't want to talk about it. I can show you, there are more scripture on money than anything else. Why are we robbing me? Genesis, you stole what's not yours. Malachi, let me remind you. But Pastor, this is the Old Testament. But it's before sin. It's before the law. They were tithing. Though it's still under the law, required in the law. But Pastor, it's Old Testament. Why not he put the robbing part in the New Testament? We are not under the law, aren't we? No, I've been teaching in Bible school hermeneutics and exegesis and all that. We got to be very careful when we have a general statement that we are not under the law. The law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Pastor, I'm no more under the law. I'm under grace. I can commit adultery. It's fine. I'm under grace. You know, we are not under the law. The law says, thou shalt not lie. Oh, I'm not under the law. I can lie. It's okay. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, I'm not under the law. Thou shalt not murder. Oh, I'm not under the law. No. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law. We are saved by grace through faith, not by keeping the law, not of our own works. We are saved through Jesus. Jesus, without sin, became sin so that we sinners became his righteousness through Christ. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And we fulfilled the law through Jesus in Christ. Amen. It's no more keeping the law. But it's the life of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit. I love God. I don't steal my neighbor's wife because I love my neighbor as myself. Everything is summed up with the love. Love for God. Every law is fulfilled with the love for God and love for one another. It's no more keeping the law that I have to now. It's part of my DNA. Because I have the life of Christ. Now, the Lord says, I'm the Lord that never changes. You know, some people say, Lord, I surrender all to you, but not that 10%. Lord, I'll serve you with all my heart, not that 10%. It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's an oxymoron. Stewardship is a test and a trust. And I tell you what, finance is not just a legal matter. It's a spiritual matter. You know why? Because where your heart is where your treasure is. Money has a lot to do with love and worship. Either you love God or you love money. You worship God or you worship money. The movie in Wall Street, greed is good. I want more. And yet the Bible tells us the root of all evil is a love of money. I want to be a lover of God. Maybe some of you say, hey, but this is the New Testament. We are no more under this regulation. Well, I think God understood that. He knew this is going to be ringing in our mind. That's why this verse says, show me, how are we robbing you? How could we rob you? Are you sure we rob you? Do we rob you? We are under the New Testament. Do we rob you? You know what God says? Okay, you're not sure, right? I'll prove. He said, test me. In other words, is prove me. Prove me. Take the God challenge. And we got all this challenge on Facebook, you know, how many this challenge and this challenge, that challenge. Take the challenge. You don't believe, right? You prove me. You test me. You test me, the Lord Almighty. Now, when he says you're under a curse, he's not saying that because you don't give your offering and tithe, God curse you. No, 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 no. It means you are under a curse system of the world. Remember when men sin, the land is under a curse. So when we rob God, we put ourselves back to a curse world system. It's under the kingdom of God system, where there's no lack of supply, no lack of provision, where there's overflowing more and beyond, abundant life, life more abundantly. That's the kingdom of God, the kingdom system. But you choose to put yourself under a cursed world system. And the Lord said, test me. He says, see. You can get to see. If I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there's no more room enough to store it, I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops, including the possum that took away my lemon. Possum has been eating up all my lemon. They will eat only the skin, you know. I'll prevent things that will steal away your wealth. Sometimes we work so hard, but it's just stolen, just disappeared. Where did the money go? Every month, not enough. Especially after you watch a movie, money not enough, you know. Everything's not enough. And it says here, the vine in your field will not drop their fruits before it's ripe. Things will not be prematurely taken away from you. I will prevent them. I'll prevent you from being robbed of that. I'll prevent the pest from devouring your crops. I'll prevent your vine from dropping before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nation will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. We are not robbing, in a sense, robbing God of tithes and offering is robbing God of the opportunity to bless you. To bless you. Because I don't want to give the 10%. But then again, life is a test in trust. If God cannot trust you for the 10%, how can you trust you for the 90%? And yet the Bible says in the New Testament, you're not of your own. It's 100%. It's no more a law. It's not that, it's no more under law now. It's I offer myself wholly. It's willingly. The 10% is like a trust. God, it's a down payment to a trust that your supernatural kingdom and power will supply what is needed out of the 90%. You know, thank you very much for the amen, electronic amen. There are 2,350 orang Indonesia, yeah? Waktu orang Indonesia. Okay. 2,350 verses in the Bible instruct us about managing money, finance. It's not here, all right? And the topic of money is second only to the topic of love in the number of times the Word of God confronts that subject. Jesus said more about money and possession than almost any other subject. Jesus himself. Dedicating 2/3 of the parables on the subject. 2/3 of Jesus' parable. We try, if we have time, we're going to go on two parables. Two-thirds of the parables on this subject of possession, stewardship, resources, money. And Jesus is a perfect example. And sadly, many times we don't understand biblical principle and foundation of stewardship. That's why we always live below the blessings of God. Because we put ourselves under a curse system of the world. Okay. Maybe some of you are still not convinced. What if I tell you Jesus said it? Would you obey it? In the New Testament, from the mouth of Jesus, if he tell you, would you obey? Okay, maybe you're still not convinced about the New Testament, the Old Testament, New Covenant, Old Covenant, and the law under grace. What if Jesus said it? This is what Jesus said. He said, woe to the scribe and the Pharisee, for you pay tithe right to the dot for every mint, every anise, every cumin. By the way, cumin is very nice. You cook lamb, cumin is very good, right, chef here? Cumin, wonderful. Good health stuff too. And have neglected the weightier matters, plural, of the law, like justice, mercy, and faith. This you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Now, some of them say, no. What Jesus is saying, there are weightier matter, but the weightier matter include tithe because it's poorer. Oh, no. The weightier matter of the law is justice, mercy, and faith. This you ought to have done. You ought to do justice, mercy, and faith. This is not talking about tithing. But read the last part. What's the last part says? Without leaving the others undone. But of course, the whole thing, the weightier matters is tithing, mercy, justice, faith. You should do all this. You ought to do all this because you neglected that. But without leaving the rest undone, the others undone, including if your argument is right. Now, if you're still really, really not convinced, please go and ask Pastor Randall at the end of the service. He has a lot more material, a gifted teacher on this area than me. He will be able to explain to you over a cup of coffee, if not over lunch. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Ren. You know, I used to be in the army in Singapore. We call this arrow, you know. Don't arrow me, okay? You know, let me see. Don't push a responsibility to me. Do they still use that word? Don't arrow me? No, okay, so I'm behind time. We use that in the army. Okay, the next... Let me see how many minutes I have. Okay, there's 10. The next 7 minutes, okay, I'm going to do 2 parables. Are you ready? Put on the seatbelt. Beautiful. Beautiful. This will really bless you out of your socks. Be fruitful and multiply. Is Niger here? Niger, you're just only beginning, okay? Now, it says here, stewardship is to protect, all right? To keep it, all right? To work on it, to expand. Keep it, work on it. Cultivate it, tend it, work on it, all right? And so, it inquire expanding the resources of God because God is into multiplication. God is into fruitfulness. Now, the scripture tells us, God bless them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds and on the heaven and over every living things. I know we apply to be fruitful and multiply, all right? That's a command. So if you close your factory, how? Are you disobeying God? Okay, that answer, you go and see Pastor Randall, all right? Pastor Randall will help you with that. There's no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He will help you with that. But I believe it's more and beyond just because he wants to enlarge, expand the kingdom, the visible kingdom of God on earth, which is really the Garden of Eden, where men have dominion. Kingdom is dominion, and we are made in the image and the likeness of God, and we are the representation of God in the expansion to have dominion. And he says, God says, look, I am to give you every plant yielding seed. What is seed? You don't plant one apple seed to get one fruit with one seed. You get what I mean? You plant one mango seed, you don't get one mango seed. You get more. God put in place multiplication. Amen? That applies to what we sow. Now, this is not part of a sermon, right? You reap what you sow. If you still can't understand that, ask Pastor Randall, all right? You reap what you sow. Number two, you reap after you sow. That means there's a sowing season, there's a reaping season. Isaac sowed during famine, and he reaped 100-fold. Famine is the best time to sow. Are you in famine? Sow. You can't afford not to sow. Don't eat your harvest. When you eat your seed, that's your harvest. When you put your seed into the ground to die, that's the key to a harvest. Unless a grain of kernel of seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But when you bury it, die, it multiplies. Okay, that's another series altogether. Okay, let's move on. So everything was provided. All right, every food is provided. God made everything and say he's very good. Why? Because he's a good God. God is good. So everything he does is good. That's why when we go through the dark night of the soul, we must not let go the truth that God, I don't care. Like Job, I don't understand why I have to go through this. What have I done? What wrong have I done? What do I do to deserve this? But ultimately, we deserve condemnation because of our sin. That's why grace is giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy is withholding what you deserve. Judgment, punishment. Okay, very quickly. The Bible is very clear. Did I have the other verse? That God give us the power to acquire wealth. God give us the ability. And it's same throughout Scripture. No matter how poor we are, God give us. And I've been a missionary in Indonesia, in Medan for 4 years, working with the tukang beca, tukang parkir, tukang pabrik. That means people that are tricycle rider, car park attendants, factory worker. And I saw over and over again the enormous blessing of God. And being a minister for close to 40 years, you know, and now I'm going to be 63 in a few months' time, I've never seen the righteous forsaken by God. Now, let's go on to this. The parable of the bag of gold. Very quickly, I'm not going through all the scriptures. It says that the kingdom of God is like. So the kingdom of God is like this man going away on a journey, all right? And he called his servant and trusts his wealth. Now, I'm so glad that Jesus is coming back, amen? And he holds us accountable for what he has entrusted to us. He's coming back. So he's going away and he really left. And so the servant are given, entrusted his wealth. And to the one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to one bags, according to his ability to manage. You will only be given what you can manage. If you can't manage 10%, you'll not be given 90% to manage. I mean, we all know, right? If you own a business, we want workers that have the responsibility and the ability to manage. If that guy can't manage, I'm not going to give him the big position. You messed up the whole company. So, and then he went away and he's coming back. Now, some translations say talent. One talent, two talent, five talent. Now, just not talking about gifting or ability or skill. You know, just talking about bags of gold. Talking about money, treasure. All right? And the kingdom of God is, you know, it's illustrated like Master said, the kingdom of God is like the hidden treasure, like the 10 virgins. So God is saying, hey, the kingdom of God here on earth, as it is in heaven, is like this person. He's coming back to hold all the steward accountable. And the scripture tells us the one with five, multiply five. How many percent is that? 100%. The one, two, multiply two. So that's 100%. And only in this passage in scripture, in fact, there are about 11, about the kingdom of heaven, it's about 11 times. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. Trustworthy servant. Good and faithful servant. And so the one with two multiplied two. So that's 100%. Now the two is not required to multiply five. It's only required to multiply two because that's 10%. But you know the scripture tells us the one only have one. He has lots of excuses. He buried. He did not do anything about it. He did not steward what was given. Remember, God is into multiplication and fruitfulness. And you know what the master says? He could have at least put it in the bank so that when I return, Jesus is coming back again, and I will receive Jesus, the King, I will receive it back with interest. That means it's his, back with interest. So it was said, it says here, take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one with 10. You know, more is given, more is required. And this scripture is very powerful in 29. Go and meditate on it. We don't have time to go in depth. See, for whoever will be given more, they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away. Now, there's so much truth in here. I want you to think about it, that we are stewards. And at the end of the day, there's so many scriptures say we have to give an account of life. Now, salvation is free. It's not by works. It's by grace through faith. But there's something about the rewards of God, something about the treasures in heaven that we have that's completely different. We can go into heaven without salvation, but suffer lost in that sense. Now, there are scriptures about that. Now, lastly, fruits for others. Blessed to be a blessing. I got a lot of supporter here this morning. Have a faith like a child. Amen? Praise God. It's a child that's supporting me. You know, fruits and success are different. Success is a lot about me, my achievement. Fruits is to share. Every time when there's a fruit season, Daniel will come and show us how good a gardener he is. Look at all my apples and to share around, right? Fruits are meant to share around. People will taste and see that the Lord is good. Where did the fruit come from? You. When they look at you, they taste the goodness of God and see that God is good. He's good to you. We have to demonstrate, we have to showcase the goodness of God through our fruits. What? Okay, the fruits of long-suffering, for who? For you? No, for your wife. This morning I woke up and I give my wife a kiss. And she say, why are you so good to me, huh? Does that happen to you, Joe? Or your wife kiss you and say, why are you so stiff, huh? It's to share. Come on. Okay, very quickly, all right? I'm going to round it up. This rich man, okay, he worked hard. He built barns. Bountiful harvest. Great, great gardener, great farmer. Right? He said to myself, I will tear down my old little small barn and build a bigger one. I will store my surplus. Oh, good guy, good manager. Store. You got to store your surplus. All right? Don't waste it. And he says to myself, I said to my soul, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. You can retire early. Come on, eat, drink, take life easy. Take life easy. That's the thing when you don't have a monitor, you don't know what's happening behind. Take life easy. Come on, you have plenty of grain for many years. Take life, eat, drink, and be merry. It's not generous. It's about my good life. I'm going to enjoy my life. I earn my keep. I did it my way. You know what God says? But God says to you, you fool. Why did God say this hardworking young man a fool? He didn't cheat. He didn't rob. He didn't steal. He worked hard. He earned his keep. He multiplied. He know how to manage. He's an entrepreneur. How can you call him a fool? What is he foolish about? The Bible says, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stored up things or treasure for themselves on earth, but not rich in God. Not rich in God. There's enough resources for us to preach the gospel and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth. Then Jesus will come. There's enough resources for us to reach and to fulfill the will of God, that none should perish, all should come to repentance. There's enough resources. One pastor says, church, I want you to know, everything that we need, we have. Overflowing even. The members were impressed. What? Yes, we have. All the resources, all the financial need, we have already. Overflowing. That's the first good news. The second good news is, it's in your bank. It's in all your bank. It's there now. But what I'm saying is this, at the end of the day, we are stewards. And the best investment for you to lay up treasures in heaven is to convert. I was just trying some transfer of funds between Singapore and here. How do we transfer a temporary world treasure to an eternal world, eternal heaven treasure? How do we transfer? I know the Chinese religion believe that you make paper house, paper car, paper iPad, paper iPhone, and you burn it, it will be transferred to the other side, and they believe it's hell, you know. But we don't do that. We can transfer what you have temporarily here that's worth in your only in your life. Do you know what you have is only in your lifetime? Because once you are gone, no dead man own property. Is that right, Joe? Can a dead person own property? No. Nope. Yeah. Can a dead person own bank account? No. Nope. Everything will be given away. You don't own anything when we leave this planet Earth. Now he's a, you know, he's a valuer. He knows all this about the value, you know. Of so there's nothing. There's nothing to your name because you cannot own anything when you're gone. But how can I transfer this? Either you transfer to the next generation, hopefully they don't abuse it, or I transfer to eternity, endless, where more and rush will not corrupt. That is when you use it for the purposes and the will of God. Every resources that you use for the purposes, you're rich in God because you use it for the will of God and the purposes and the plan of God. Something happened in the air. Something happened spiritually. There was a transfer right now from the treasures on earth to treasures in heaven. Now remember, everything is still an issue of the heart. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart may be. Sadly, in the church world today, only about 30% tithe. Even though many church membership require members to tithe, but the reality is about 30%. Church, don't give if you're under compulsion to give. Don't give because you felt forced or there's manipulation, emotional manipulation there. Don't give. Please, don't give grudgingly because God gave. God loves a cheerful and willing giver. So please, don't say, I come to this service, I've been brainwashed to give. Don't give. I'm telling you, don't give. No pastor tell you not to give. I'm the first pastor. Don't give. You give out of your love for God that I don't belong to myself. If I ask for testimony, there'll be many. For me, when I gave my heart to the Lord at the age of 13, I said, Lord, I'll give you my whole life. When I was 25, 26, I sold everything, give it to the church, building offering and whatever with my two bags. I said, God, I'm going to Australia to Bible school. I only have enough money for 6 months. Say, God, all you see is all you get. I've emptied my bank account, my pocket, here I am. And God has never failed me. Never failed me. There are times I don't have salaries. There are times I'm down to the $50. But God has never failed me. Amen? And I want to challenge you today. Don't rob God the opportunity to bless you. As the worship team comes, don't rob God of the opportunity to pour out His blessing on you. The floodgates of heaven. He's not only opening the door window, He's opening the floodgates of heaven to pour out on you. Don't live under the curse system of the world. Let's stand to our feet right now as we sing a song.